Hello and welcome to the debug log number 106. This is a very strange intro because I'm finding it hard to figure out what to say, which is never usually the case with me in these. It's a very strange time. The whole world seems to be holed up in quarantine, going through COVID-19, worldwide pandemic. It's a very strange time because we're trying to make the most of it while there's bad things out there going on. I hope everybody's staying safe. And the game industry, it seems silly to talk about, but that's our industry. That's what we work in. And it involves the lives and well-being of a lot of people in this. So we get together, we talk about, you know, our experiences and what's going on in the industry at large. Quick disclaimer, it was recorded a couple of weeks ago, right at the end of March, so only a couple of weeks after we've been staying home. And it's not that so many things have changed as far as just the industry, but I'm sure things are going to keep evolving. We'll try to keep checking in. But until then, hope everybody stays safe. We hope everybody's doing okay, all the debuggers out there. And without further ado, this is the Debug Log, episode 106.
Like, it's okay. Crazy. And I was like, that show seems wild. They proposed to each other, never seen each other. That's...
Yeah.
That's some garbage. I'm not doing that.
That's some garbage.
Because they had
some ogres behind the curtains.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't care about your inner self.
All right. Ready?
Ready.
Kick it.
Let's do this. Do-do-do-do. You're listening to the Debug Log, a podcast about game development. My name's Andrew Curry.
I'm Obino Parham.
And I'm Ryan Kilgore.
And we're coming to you live from our severed bunkers. We are quarantined. Ladies and gentlemen, we're quarantined. It's March 28th, 2020. We usually don't say the date we record, but that's a good reference to this because, as everybody knows, it's a global pandemic and everybody's at home doing this. We always record at home, but everybody in the world's at home. And we thought we'll touch base on what we all, our own experience with this, but it's also affected the game industry and in culture in general, which is going to be weird and it's going to have lasting impact. So we thought we'd do a quick episode on that, and we'll hopefully do some more episodes on other things during this extra time. But before we get to that, Obina, do we have a review? A candle
we
in the dark
a review,
during these dark
a
times?
Candle. Exactly. And this one is from Crooked Snout, who actually, I love this title. It's The Big Game Dev Brothers You Never Had. 5 stars. And they say, as someone who is trying to get into the industry, this podcast has a lot of value. Great discussions, great personalities. Thanks, guys. So we appreciate that, Crooked Snout, for being our light in these very, very trying times. So appreciate it. Keep writing us reviews. We definitely, definitely need them, especially in these times, to give us that joy that we don't get by leaving our houses. So,
okay. You live a joyless life otherwise? Jesus.
Yeah. I have noticed, I was talking to Ryan the other day before we got on there, and everybody's doing Zoom calls and conference calls, but it's so funny that usually it doesn't matter, and I always just get on my phone because if I'm at the house, I'm walking around and pacing and doing something. Not for this, but on other calls and meetings, but people are like, turn your camera on. We should look at each other. I was like, why? Everybody's like really, they just like thirsty for people's faces.
I want to see your kids in the background.
That's where Jimmy Fallon had a good joke with that one because they're doing all their little shows from home too. And one of the jokes is like, I never knew Bill had such an ugly kitchen.
Right.
It's like, everybody's seen everybody's houses and setups and stuff, which is funny.
That's true.
All right. Cool. So, yes, like we said, this is weird times. This is kind of unprecedented. I told Alex, my daughter, the other day, I was like, Alex, this is like history. You're living through history. Like, last time something like this happened to us was like 9/11. But to her, I was like, this is something, you know, this is in a history book thing. No matter what happens, and, you know, 2 months, it's fine. It goes through the thing. I'm not saying it's the end of the world or something, but this is a historical thing. I've never did this when I was a kid.
But so you're also not saying it's not the end of the world,
well,
Alex.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, so it is a historical event in a weird time and a weird little moment. So, and it affects everything, but of course it affects our little sliver of the universe. But before we get into that, have you guys, you're in California, Obina, you guys got it first, I guess.
Yeah, a little more strict. Yeah, not before China, but yes, we did get it as far as like the US. We were kind of the first to like hunker down and have like the, you know, shelter-in-place order for all of California. I think it started in the Bay Area, actually, and then it moved down to the rest of California. So it's kind of been, it's been interesting to like be the first to experience the mad grab for toilet paper and food and everything flying off the shelf. Now, well, at first I did not, but now as I'm running low, I'm like,
well, I have a shipment coming today, so hopefully it'll come. I had to like, wait, fine, I'll order a bunch more toilet.
Yeah, I mean, with like Amazon and all these other services, yeah, just sit back and order some a little ahead of time. You should be fine, you know.
Maybe I should have done that because now I'm moving to like trash bags and paper bags.
Wait, you're using paper, trash bags? Bags.
What do you mean?
I'm just kidding.
You I'm just,
that would be horrible.
Not, yeah.
I'm not struggling that bad.
Right. Use old socks or something. I don't know. All right.
How's it been on your side on the East Coast?
I've been out for 2 weeks. Ryan, you didn't get out that far. You were still going a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, like, I mean, in Atlanta, it was pretty, like, I'd say only for maybe about the past week, people have really started to, like, get in that mode. Maybe a week and a half or so. But, yeah, it's definitely been a lag time to get here. But I think the city's responded pretty well, actually. You know, everybody's doing pretty good with the stay and, like, self-quarantine. And kind of what we were talking before the show, Bina, about some of the images of the city and just the lack of cars. Because you remember Atlanta, right? Traffic. It was horrible. Right. Yeah, then you'd like, people are posting like the connector at 5 p.m. and it's like so much space between cars.
Yeah, somebody put that walking, remember the Walking Dead poster, the show when it first started? Mm-hmm. And it has a view of Atlanta from the south, I guess, mm-hmm. with like the cars, like one side's empty and the other side's like stuck. They show the exact same image of an image and there's no cars on the road. Like next to us, like, yikes, that's creepy. Yeah.
I kind of want a single man on a horse.
Yeah.
I kind of want to put that post. There's like one post that someone did. It's like a drone footage of all of SF or, you know, the city of SF.
Yeah.
And there's like literally no one outside. And it's like, you would think it's like in slow-mo, but there's birds flying that. So it's like, it's real time footage, but it seems like it's just, it's so desolate. It's kind of crazy, it's beautiful though.
It's not all, you should see also they show those like thermal images, like all like world pollution's gone down and all these things are happening now. Gas is $1.89 here, which is nuts. I was in my mid 20s when it was that low. That's how, not my, well, it's like 15 years ago, but like it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I just think this has been interesting, though, too, just in general, just the sociological. This is stuff I love. Normalcy bias is what I love, like looking at and people talking about, because I remember before 2 weeks ago, it was like it went through. And this is also annoys me because I feel like everybody, it seems like not most people, but on the news and stuff, there's two different responses to this. It's either just sheer panic or I don't care. Who cares? And I thought it was interesting just to see how seriously other things people took it. And that's what we'll get into tonight. Just so sometimes a lot of good companies and other people just said, no, we got to take care of this or we're going to do this. And it's weird how the culture, we don't have to get into it because this isn't a general discussion show. Just culturally, things like movies are kind of this challenging time. Things like if you're a band or if you're a stand-up comedian and going on a tour.
Like artists in general are really suffering during this.
Yeah, time. Just imagine if that's what, what if you got into South by Southwest as a band and you're like, oh, we got in, or my movie got in, because you went to go, you're supposed to go sell your movie there at South by Southwest. And you're like, or your tech company and had like, we got a booth and we got this new product coming out, you know, and you're like, And all these, I was like, oh my God, how crazy. And then I started thinking about the game industry. I was like, it actually might be a positive for the game industry, which we can talk about in a lot of ways.
It was already, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, we can get into that, but it's different how it affects different media and how to, and I think it'll just have a cultural, and we'll talk about just maybe permanent impact, you know, what'll kind of go into the future. But the media impact, I guess we'll just dig into it, because like the media impact is that things started getting canceled right away. That's when it kind of hit home for me, is I think that night when my normalcy bias went away. I was like, Alex was still in school. This is 2.5 weeks ago. And it was that one night where like Tom Hanks has it. The NBA is canceled. MLB is like, whoa, what? Like there's like five stories. It was like a Thursday night. Remember? And I was like, what's going on? I texted Alex's mom. I was like, should we keep her from school tomorrow? Like, you know what I mean? I was like, what is going on? Like, and then after that, people just the week after that, people started kind of going in line. And if we first start hearing, the E3 is the big one, right? That's the one that And then, I don't know if it worked out better for them that it was canceled this year. That's another discussion, because everybody was already pulling out of it before any of this virus stuff happened. Yeah.
Well, was it E3 or GDC?
Because I think GDC was
GDC
the first
got canceled first. You're right.
Yeah. Because that was the one where Sony was supposed to like drop a bunch of their specs and stuff, and they ended up just releasing like a stream of his name just flew out of my head. Their chief Cerny.
Yeah.
Their chief architect kind of talking about their new design and things there, which was kind of had an odd effect for them, because saw some people like, that's it, like, oh, that was just a bunch of techno, but like I don't think some people knew the context of that talk, right? Like, that was supposed to be to people in the industry that are very technically minded, or, you know,
it was a weird talk though, because they had like fake audience members there, like,
that was interesting with the silhouettes, like some people were talking like about Mystery Science.
Yeah. Like, why is Dana Carvey on the episode of Mystery, because he looked, and his voice, he is the weirdest guy, because he doesn't talk like, he doesn't do what I'm just doing now. We're like, yeah, like, he just goes, and okay, we thought we would do this, and, you know, the stereoscopic, he has a script, he feels like he's a robot, and he has this really soothing voice. You're like, this is a lot of stuff, dude. This is a
it's
lot
like
of
you just
stuff.
Got in an accident, and it's trying to talk, he's trying to talk you down or something.
All right, what we're gonna do here is first we're gonna call the paramedics, and then we're gonna
exactly.
Wait, how did you guys like interpret like the initial reactions from, I think more so for like participants and people going to GDC
when they were
starting to cancel things, like, hey, oh, why are they canceling? You know, why are people pulling out? And they were like, I feel like there was just general people more upset about, you know, this, their famed convention getting canceled. And it was like, yeah, we don't care about, you know, this sickness or whatever.
GDC always feels way more international for some reason. I mean, these game dev things are, but I think it's probably, I didn't realize that more so. We're such like ethnocentric in this country, you know, but like, I think it was when after Trump got elected and they started doing all these bans, and that was an issue with GDC because some people couldn't come. I was like, oh yeah, there's the people coming from all over. And that's what, like a couple years ago, and that started in my head. And so when they first canceled, like, yeah, I get it. They're from everywhere. Like, cause this was always a thing that in December and January, this is a thing that was bubbling. You hear about it in China. Yeah. A little bit in Italy. So what's going on with this? And from an American standpoint, if anybody listening to this, that's overseas, a lot of these viruses and stuff that have happened with the bird, all that stuff happens, but to most Americans, it wasn't a huge issue or thing they thought about at all over the
living
past 20 years.
Living up to our stereotype,
It's just like, yeah, that's over there. Sadly, that's how we think of a lot of things here, but it's like, yeah, that's over there. Who cares about that? So that felt like just more noise like that. You're like, yeah, okay, sure.
But yeah, talk about the international aspect. It's like a lot of people, I'm sure, like that just, I wonder how much money was lost on that. Cause you know, they got to set a lot of this up fairly, you know, far out, right? For these big conventions. So, I mean, that, you know, people getting their money back for flights, hotels, if they had booths, but, you know, there's just a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, I'm sure was a real disruption to people.
And that's what, I don't want to spoil the whole story, but that's what the one little aspect they said that I read the story about Bungie. They said they had an interesting, just when we're talking about perspective and what we thought about what was going on. Cause remember they made that $100 million, that company from China invested in them right when they got away from Activision, that NetEase company. And they have been working with them and their dev teams and stuff, people, whoever their people over there is. So they had like a 3 month head start where 3 months ago, these people were like going into quarantine, doing stuff over there. They're like, oh, we knew it was coming. So we already started getting prepared for it. They had like a different perspective because they had Chinese partners they talked to every day, which is interesting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Right.
I do like that GDC did the virtual talks though. So they canceled everything, but they said, well, if you submitted a video based on the preview of your talk, we're just going to stream them that day for free. And now they're up on their site, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm definitely have to take a look at that.
So you can check it out. That's sort of what the Sony thing. I guess the Sony one was supposed to take place there, right? That he did, and they just taped it.
Yeah, because I watched it on YouTube or someplace. Yeah,
right. And so that makes sense. And but it was the first kind of like that was so close, and you get it. But then things started just getting canceled later on, like the PAX and the E3s. You're like, yeah, a lot of people talk about E3 being canceled. Like the thing they mentioned this time, I was like, it might be if they cancel this, they're not going to have another E3. There might not be another E3
because well, because you know what this does is this, like, so with E3, like, you know, we all know it's like, it's kind of a big thing for the industry and for studios to like make demos and get all this stuff ready and spend all this money to kind of showcase it. And this came from it used to being like a more of a press, get your press
buyer
out there type
show
of thing.
Too, right?
Yeah, a buyer show. Buyers. Yeah. But now you've got all the way to do this a million ways online.
And before the internet too.
Before the internet. Exactly. Yeah. Cause, and so like, this is a year where you'd be like, okay, maybe we don't do this and don't spend all this money. And all these companies are like, you know what? We didn't need that. Why would we sign up to do that again? And you already had like PlayStation and, pulling out. Like, I don't remember if Nintendo was even going to be there. I think Microsoft always has their own thing off to the side, but it's not really E3. So,
but even like Jeff Keighley pulled out of being involved with it and stuff. Like all those people.
Yeah.
And I just remember hearing like internal discussions about like how much money we save, like companies save not going, like not investing into a large booth and investing like the marketing materials into a conference and where they can, like where we can now redistribute that money for other, you know, initiatives, which is kind of crazy. It's like a big figure dollar that they're saving after
Oh,
and that one either is big as before they had three or four different PAXes and before, you know, all these other shows and like that they're big deals and DICE and all these things are huge. And it's just before, I was like you said, that I mean Nintendo kind of brought it in. What is it? Nintendo brought it in when he actually when they did the started doing their direct things and they stopped doing actual conferences and then Sony did too. So they just now Sony just does those videos now too, because it's like if it's just on the internet, nobody really cares. We'll pause.
Yeah. Cool.
But anyway, Ryan's going to have some difficulty. He got caught in the quarantine. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And that's why I want some of the well, there's two different things to talk about. There's one, like there's like a consumer side of, you know, games and a development side of games. I guess let's talk about the consumer side of games.
Well, you mean I just in general, like we've heard stats. I've heard stats like nonstop about how many people are now entrenched and like deeply involved in gaming now. It's like,
well, yeah, because
their new entertainment medium.
And I don't know how you, I don't know if you've caught up a little bit with Bina and I, you and I are the ones that are like, God, I love it, but I don't really have time for it. I start playing a few more games I have not played in a year or two. I was like, yeah, so even if it's only been like an hour or two there, but it's
right.
It's starting to hit me now. This, the time is the free time is caught up to me, but that's what one of the first thoughts when I thought, like, oh yeah, movie theaters going out, music, all this stuff is hard. But it's like, games are made to be played at home, baby. Right. It's like, what are you talking about?
It's like, it's become so pervasive that it's like not even, it's not even like a leisure time thing almost. It's like now on Zoom calls, I'm with my coworkers and we're doing like some random, you know, team building game through the web or through some mobile app. And like, that's how we're like staying connected is through a game, which is kind of crazy. Yeah, I think there was one that was like a t-shirt game or something, but it was like, that's how we're connected now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had a buddy. His unfortunately, his wife, she's a dental hygienist. She got laid off for the time being because, yeah, I can't go in there and start touching people. But she's like not a gamer at all, but now she's apparently, during her fun employment, as they're calling it, is playing, started playing Animal Crossing on the Switch. Never would game. This guy, kind of the same thing as you guys, starts playing Red Dead, like Red Dead Redemption again. So it's definitely an uptick for that type of stuff.
Yeah, there is a, because, yeah, we're only talking about our perspective. And again, like, yeah, there's just so much stuff, caveats you have to say here. One, you made a good point, Brian. We have to say our heart goes out to all the people that have lost their job. This is just crazy. It's crazy for small business. If you're a waiter, like if you're any of these places that just are like, yeah, you can't do anything.
Isn't it,
we,
isn't it like record-setting unemployment
like 3 million
rates, like 3.
People?
3.3 million.
3.3 million.
And so and there's just, I mean, we got so crazy that we have, they're sending out checks to everybody or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be a huge, it's getting to a point where all this stuff is, and so it is crazy. Like, we, because I mean, I think all three of us are all working from home. But for the people that didn't even like, hey, maybe even their job's on hold, but or they don't have a job, they have 10 hours a day to play games. And games are the best thing for that. I mean, if you're, that's when I'm sick, or not that I'm not saying sick with this, it's a bad choice of words. But like in the past, when I've been sick, just normally the flu, or the normal flus and other stuff, is like that's when I played the most games, just sitting there.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You know, take your mind off of things.
It's exactly. It's, that's what I was about to say. It's just like the mental therapy that games can provide, especially in these tough times where you need some maybe a distraction or just a pick me up, where a lot of games can be that. So
I'll tell you, like, Animal Crossing couldn't have come at a better time, probably, because right. that game is so darn relaxing. Like, right. I'll just sit there and kind of like, whatever. I don't care what's going on in the world.
Yeah, and that's why, and that all that stuff is one thing, and then just. And just all the live games, there's some from Apex, all these, what is it? Steam had like the record. What was the record concurrent users they hit?
Oh, God, right.
It was like 30 million or some crazy.
Yeah, 20 million or something. Yeah, yeah.
It might have been 20 million.
But yeah, like, they're consistently hitting that number. Yeah.
Which is, it's just, that's why games are particularly interesting. And I guess, I mean, you could say Netflix and the other stuff, but games are particularly different. I guess, well, there's a couple other consumer things to hit, but games are particularly different. We'll get into this, is that, the production of games can still keep going on with movies and Netflix and everything. We're like, these are great, but no other movies are being made right now. Our shows have canceled their season. Right. So they want to end this, you know what I mean? This last 3 months, you're not going to see the rest of that season until like another year. Cause they have to get back to shooting and stuff, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
And movies and stuff. Cause movies are for a while before they started doing ones for, which is a smart move for some of these movies. They're like, hey, $20, you can rent it. Like day of now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you see on Amazon Prime, like there's a section now that's like
Premiere Cinema, Premiere Prime.
Yeah, like theatrical rentals or
yeah, we watched that Onward movie, the Pixar movie, and it's in theaters before. Yeah, so it's like, it's cool. It's neat. I like it.
Yeah. So and what does that do to theaters, like an outside the game business? Like, you know, do they come back to, hey, everybody just does this at home now, you know?
Theaters, yeah, who knows what does the theaters? Remember theaters, this might kill multiplexes, because remember,
right.
If you look back at, I never knew this, really understood this until I was watching behind the scenes of the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie, and they're talking about the theaters, because they show all these different theaters, but before they had multiplexes, they just had a theater play a movie for a couple weeks. And it's like, you might go back.
So
you might get back to that, because not everything needs to be in a theater. If you have a Star Wars or a Marvel movie, it's still going to make a lot in the theater. But if you have these little tiny things, it's like, just put it on home for $20.
I wonder how people are going to react in the aftermath. How we're going to react as consumers in the aftermath.
Like,
will we just like go excessive? Like, you know, the opposite of the paper roll. Like, we go over and above trying to get out and go get social, go, you know, spend more time at the movies, or will we like realize? Because I don't know. I feel like
I have
a realization that, you know, one, I do not need to be outside all the time. But then now I'm like, I kind of want to be outside.
Yeah,
all
you
the
asked
time.
Me 2 weeks so ago. Like, I said I thought people were going to be more scared to go out, but now I'm like, they're going to be pounding the pavement to get out of here after this thing.
Well, yeah,
like, any opportunity.
People are social animals, and you need you need that to a degree. Like, you know, I like working from home every once in a while, but I used to like going into the office a few days a week too, just to kind of connect with people, see them, you know, talk to them. So I think you're right, Obina. I think there will be maybe a bounce back, like when it's like, all right, everybody go do stuff again. I bet restaurants and bars see probably a spike for a little bit, I would guess. Or I don't know, maybe people will be a little timid, but I figure once people are like, you know, send a few of the pigeons out there to see like, hey, is the coal mine clear yet, you know? Then it's like, okay, no, nobody died, all right, let's go party. So
you know, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, even Ryan and I talked about that before you got on, you know, we were saying like, even though I bought like the stuff the first week and we have like supplies and stuff, I'll still like, because it's not, I mean, of course, we're not the same here. It's not the same situation you have there in New York and stuff. And there's still people, and everything's like, and you go to certain places like Publix or QT, these guys are wiping everything down every second. It's very, they're handling it very well at some of these places you go to. So I'm like, I really would like a Diet Mountain Dew right now. It's like, I'm finding excuses just to run there, because nobody's there and it's not really a danger, but it is I mean, I could touch a, I mean, I have hand sanitizer. If I touch something, I'm trying to be cognizant of that, but just being here, I was like, oh, I just need to get out for a second and just go, you know.
Which kind of like reminds you of like where the shift as far as the game industry might go from here. As we're seeing all of these connected games, like Ryan said, you know, we're social creatures. We want to connect. And we're seeing games like Animal Crossing and this, you know, this, I don't know what the name of the game was. It's a t-shirt game. But how we really want to, even like Call of Duty.
One of the Jackbox games?
Yeah, Jackbox, you're right. Yeah. So games like that where we're really getting that connection, I feel like those will really, really explode towards the tail end of this pandemic while we're staying enclosed and staying secluded.
Well, that's what
we're
going
to see a lot more games like that.
Yeah, before we were supposed to record like a week ago, right, or something before this hit, or a week and a half ago. But I, the topic that I wanted to talk about, I'm gonna still get into this, and maybe it's even cooler in this light. It was going to be about live games, you know, and the different live games, and kind of I was even get into some stuff with Apex and Destiny and all that stuff now. But just any of these live games, there's a lot of them now. Right. And just how that, and how you can, even designing live games, and how some games like Destiny paint themselves in the corners, and how some are designed around that. All that stuff is cool. But I was like, but those games are just thriving now. I played, been playing Destiny a little something the past week. It's like, I like it, and I don't know what's going on with how they have 1,000 different systems. Like, I just want to go in there and play some rounds of these things and just get out of it. Like, because you just want to be, it's like, oh, this is fun. I feel like things are happening here. This is cool.
Like, jumping here. I almost feel like even like more like the squad based, or like, you know, you have your party of people that you're going into a game with will be like the new thing. Like, can I play with my friends? Me and my friends go into this instance of a game, and then we just play that gameplay. So I feel like those will be a really big thing. It's like going in with friends and then just staying connected. So I feel like as a game developer, if you're looking for an idea, I feel like
multiplayer,
that's where
you go.
Yeah. You know, another one that I think is really, well, definitely has really seen a boom. A particular one is the Switch, the Nintendo Fitness Ring, that game. Like, apparently those are like sold out. Like, and I got one
and
a long time ago.
Sold out too.
Yeah, switches. There you go. But that's something I didn't think about before. Like, they, you know, so at my apartment complex, they shut down the gym, right? You can't do that while we're doing this. And so I was like, well, I was going to the gym, like, you know, a few times a week, and I wanted to keep that up. So how do I do that? And I was like, oh, well, I got the Ring Fit, so I started using that more.
That's another thing. Gym equipment in general is sold well, too.
Rather. Oh, yeah, I bought a rowing machine as well.
Wow, and that's apartment? Well done.
It folds up. Yeah, it's a bit of a it's a bit of a space taker, but I need to do something, man, and I don't want to go out and run in the Atlanta heat.
Right. So guns have gone up in sales too, but that's just America.
Yeah, that's just America.
You can't shoot the virus, but
you can't shoot the virus. So I'm gonna try.
But I got my toilet papers and guns.
Yeah.
There's never a game or post-apocalypse. That's what we need to make a post-apocalyptic game where toilet paper is the currency. It's like, this is Charmin. This is premium shit, man.
This is like,
two ply, three ply.
Oh.
I've seen a couple
satin on my bum. Oh, man.
So anyways, well, and here also the bigger thing too, the other thing the interesting to talk about is that we mentioned, like, I mean, we directly just mentioned it, but, you know, the conferences and whether, but what those conferences was about was, we have two consoles that are supposed to come out this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are they going to come out? Are they not?
I feel like it's prime real estate for these consoles to come out. Like,
but can they be made if China shut down and they're not, like, the factory and supply lines and stuff?
Yeah, I think they got too much in this to not, like, into these systems to have them not come out. I think people will want them, especially if we're still stuck indoors. Hopefully not, because that's going to be in like November. But like you said, Andrew, I think what might happen
them
is
now, right?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, and they've already got these things finalized, so they're either making them now, and, you know, well, I'm sure they're making them now, but, you know, maybe there's a delay and saying, like, hey, we thought on launch we'd have, like, I don't know, a million. We're only going to have 750,000. You know, there may be,
that's
like
somebody mentioned. They said that maybe even if they only had like 100, we're just going to release a small batch just to get it out. And if it's a scarcity thing, fine. But we're not going to delay it. We're just going to put it out because that's like the news cycle and stuff.
Yeah.
And also on the good side of things, there's like been news that, you know, the, like, in the East, like in China, the virus is becoming less and less of an issue. I wouldn't say that, hopefully. But it's like, it's, you know, it's like leveling off as far as like new cases. So people are starting to actually go back to the office. So things are starting to pick up, which is good to hear. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's what, I mean, we're just at the beginning of this, and that's what, it's hard. Yeah. I want to paint the picture that we're in between panic and like don't care. And it's like, it was just like, well, it's serious and you should take precautions, and systematically we don't want to lower our system, but also, the statistical chances are very good for most people, you know. So, but yeah, you're totally right, though. For us, it's still 2 or 3 more months. But for them, they started in November, whenever this thing started, right? So,
right.
Hopefully there. Yeah, we'll see. Right. Yeah, we'll see. But that's what I was saying. So maybe that'll be cool that they come out. And we'll do an episode talking about those, too. But yeah, it is a prime time for that, but but it's weird. It's at first I was thinking it's going to be just disruptive, but we can kind of shift into this thing. But I've been impressed. But all these other games, I should expect it because game companies used to be more progressive in their business practices like this, employment practices. They just, a lot of them just adapted and they're working from home now, like everybody, you know what I mean? Like without skipping a beat.
Right. Do you guys see that as, sorry, this might be a conversation for later, but do you see that as something that's going to take up, like, or like really pick up even after this season of pandemic is over? Like where a lot more companies are just going to be, hey,
I think in general, I mean, yeah,
absolutely. Because when I used to work for Turner, like at least the group I was in, like they weren't big on working from home. Like there was just some stigma about it. Like, I don't know if they thought you were just going to sit around in your underwear.
Yeah, it's like an old fashioned like 50s suit and tie. Yeah,
and that's a company that very much has a lag time to pick up on things. Like my current company, like right away, they're like, heck, you can work from home whenever anyway. We already have the infrastructure for it, so go for it. And if you want to come back in the office when this is over, cool too. But yeah, I think hopefully maybe these older institutions, like they get things set up and they start saying, huh, we can still be as productive, maybe even more so if people are at home and can do stuff, you know, and they're like, all right, well, maybe we won't be such sticks in the mud about it anymore and can, you know, get things going.
Yeah, because the problem before with all that was two problems. One is conceptual, like the concept of it was either challenging to some people or not. And then also infrastructure for some places, right? Mm-hmm. For me, I just have a laptop. I don't need infrastructure. I just need the internet. I can go home or go there. It doesn't matter, you know. But some people need, they need beefier setups or need whatever it is. So, like, even because, you know, where you guys were, maybe I were like talking to one of our psychologist people that's in Virginia, and his clinic, they're like fields that want to do it. They don't have the time and set up, and they do a little bit of telehealth. But now they've been forced to set all this stuff up. Right. So it's like this has forced them to go ahead and set all these things up what they wanted to do anyway. So now they're set up for that. So a lot of these, even if they didn't want it, like some of these companies are like, well, now we already spent all this money and everybody's got these computers and these workstations and all this stuff going on. So now it's not a big deal. We should just do this.
Right. You know? Speaking of, you mentioned like health. Sorry, did I interrupt you, Ryan? Or?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're fine.
So yeah, just like other industries outside of like the engineer or the person that does all they need is a laptop. How do you feel like that is also like also going to affect other disciplines where, you know, like a salesperson, do they really need to go out and physically
maybe meet? Yeah, because you go into an office person. You go to a normal office. When I used to work for a company, this big cable company like May Cable, we were a marketing team, right?
Oh, I remember that. That's crazy.
And you walk around. Yeah, before I worked with you, like we walk around, it's just a bunch of people in cubicle on a computer or a phone.
Right. That's true too.
Like we had more meetings as a marketing team in the meeting room. Most of the people there were like account people or like accountants or representatives or sales. They sit on the computer all day, glaring at the stuff on the computer, which is not a powerful computer. These are like all these, IBMs and Dell.
Sony. Yeah.
Yeah. Or then they're on the phone. I was like, you guys don't even need to be here. Nobody needs to be here.
Right. You know how much, it's crazy, like how much money companies are going to save by not having
a building. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. Not having a building or brick and mortar or all the extra, you know, even like providing food or providing different services to employees that come into the office. Like the amount of money that can be leveraged otherwise.
Yeah, the guys that made on Basecamp, you know, because the one was at DHH, the guy that made Ruby on Rails, but the other guy's Jason Freed. He has a book called Rework, and it's about all this stuff. And it's just like, we're only, because Basecamp is a company that makes like tens of millions of dollars a month, and they have like 30 employees, and they're all over the world. Because it's also from a hiring standpoint, why would you want to hire just people that are best in your area? You know what I mean? Like,
why limit the pool?
Yeah. Especially for things that can do that. So I think it could, our world and development and this stuff is already into this stuff and we've been on it. But to us, it's just a natural thing. We do it already. But you're right. For these stuffier things that are like, you can be an accountant at home. There's no reason you need to be at work.
Right. And I wonder if we'll go even deeper. Like we've already been embraced the kind of culture of like working from home, but I wonder if we'll go like even more aggressive. Like, hey, you know, the numbers actually looked pretty good from April to May. We could actually push that and say, hey, let's encourage that even more, get better infrastructure, home infrastructure for our employees and see where it takes us. And, you know, we can save on flights. You know, we don't have to fly our salesmen from Japan to SF to Seattle every 2 weeks. You know, they can save so much money. And I wonder how aggressive we'll get as a culture and industry moving forward.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier there, Obin. I think it was about saving money on the snacks and the this and the that. What do you think this does to things like crunch time and recruitment in games? Because I always felt like a lot of those sort of amenities were also like, let's keep them in the office and keep them productive. Like, do you think does crunch time get hurt by that? And, or does this kill crunch time? I doubt that because, marketing and deadlines, but what does it do to it? Is it still just like, well, now you're just at home, working your ass off, you just got what you got, or, do they start something else? Like, you all get Blue Apron on us. I don't know,
Or maybe that's the time everybody does come in, maybe those are the times that.
Right.
Because crunch time usually been about people like standing behind you all working like three people that won the machine trying to fix stuff for them.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's sort of that arena nature of like, we need to tackle this problem and all come together and like get this thing, birth this thing. So
as far as recruitment, I feel like even the working from home, that kind of almost to a lot of people up until maybe now, though, it's been a perk. Like being able to work and have that flexible schedule if you have kids or if you like to travel, etc., that could be the perk. So you may lose out on having catered food every day, but you do have the freedom to kind of mind your own schedule outside of meetings. But then again, who knows? I think there's been plus and minuses with working from home. There isn't a good tendency, to over communicate through remote work. So you're like constantly in meetings more than working. So I think as an engineer, that's kind of been my downside, is I've been in a lot more meetings and kind of have my, when you get in the, the programming flow, having that interrupted by meetings every so often. So to me, that's been a detriment, but working from home generally, I think I'm more productive, but I feel like with this transition, we've kind of communicated extra and have more and more meetings.
Yeah. And it's good you brought digging into this meeting, because I thought of something too, is that when I was in my 20s, I did, I worked for a graphic design company, this golf company thing. We made golf books. But at some point, my friend did this, and I just said, I want to do that too. I like started my own start your own LLC. And I was like, I can do contract work for you. For them, it's cheaper because they didn't pay me health insurance. So I started doing contract, and then I got other jobs. So I did that for like 2 or 3 years. So I was like, this is really cool. And then I ended up getting into computers. That's what got me into start doing web stuff. And I got into, we haven't done my episode yet, so you don't know this, but I got into doing, programming. Then I got back in that. And then I went back to school, like in my mid 20s for computer science. Cause I just found it. I loved it. That was cool. But during those times, that's when I stopped doing the thing. Cause it was like, I had to go to school. You have to pick between finishing a job or going to class, studying and certain tests. I was like, I got to get the normal job again. But those 3 years like ruined me. Because when you're out of, when you wake up at your house, this is before I had kids too, before I had Alex, but you wake up and you're like, it's 11 o'clock. You're like, I'm going to get something to eat. Then I'll come back and work a little bit. And then I'll work a little bit later. I played 2 to 3 hours of Halo 3 every day. My friend worked at NPR, so he'd get off early. He just got ahead of a weird schedule. So he'd get off at from like 2 to 6-ish. So 3 to 6-ish. I was so good at Halo 3. I was like, we played it every day. That's when I had the most gaming time in the world. Like, more like Ryan and you and Zach do all the time. That's when I did that. And it was great. It was just like, and then I'd have dinner and then I'd work a little bit more stuff after dinner. You know what I mean? It was just like, this is how you live. This is living. Yeah. And then since then I've had jobs, but every time, everything I do is toward me doing my own little things. I have other projects. I have other game ideas. That is my ultimate goal. And I only have even stay in the job that you guys work with that I have now is because it's the most flexible job in the world with Alex.
Right.
And to me, it really is worth it, because if I worked anywhere else, I couldn't do what I can do now. I have a job now where I could leave any day and go, I have to go pick up Alex, I'm doing stuff, or I need to work at home these next 3 weeks. They'd be like, okay.
Right. Sure.
And that's when you have the taste. Sorry, I can't remember. It's so, you're like, this is how you, it's almost an office space thing. You know, it gets hypnotized. It's the exact same thing where he's like, people aren't supposed to live like this.
Right. You really feel that's like so that. True. Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
this
true.
Week, it's done it even more. This is what's going to add on to this. Now, my even experience this week with Alex, because me and her mom are divorced, but we had her week to week, right? So I had her just took her back over to her mom's.
But even during the day, I'm working, but I'm here with her and I make her lunch. And I'm here with her like 12 hours. And we were staying up late watching movies every night. You know what I mean? Like, I had a movie. It's like a summer with her that I don't ever get. I was like, man, I've spent so much time with her. And sometimes during the day, it's a little hectic and she's bouncing off the walls. Like, Alex, I have a meeting again. Hold on, shut up. But I was sad, like more sad than you, Sham, because like, this is really fun. This has just been like, this is a really fun time because like, this is how people are supposed to live with their families. And,
that's
when you work at a job. I see Zach more than I've seen Alex a lot of time in the past 2 years.
Man, that's crazy. Man, and that's the cultural shift that I kind of, I really, really, really hope we see. Like the talk about crunch and everything like that. That's the shift that we need to make because it is just going to be better for us as a culture to make that shift where we're reprioritizing our life outside of work, outside of career, outside of being on a 9-to-5 and shifting to things that really, really, really matter. And I think that's what this pandemic is kind of waking us up to see is how important or how little of importance. You know, I think we even got into verbiage
down,
where slowing down and like, but we've even gotten to verbiage where you're kind of realizing how unimportant work can be, where people are calling you non-essential or your job as non-essential.
That's true, yeah.
You know, so that's like, it's kind of waking up to say, hey, what really, really matters? Let me connect with my friends, connect with my family, check in on people more than I usually do, and maybe just enjoy life. Like getting the things that people are starting, that's another point actually, which you kind of touched on is like people are getting into things that they normally wouldn't have done because they didn't have the time to do it. People are becoming more entrepreneurial. You see people creating memes or doing like TikTok videos, getting, you know, being more creative. That's another
TikTok video. Okay, sorry.
But people are just getting out and doing themselves more than they would have possibly done without this pandemic. It's just like having that moment to like sit down, like forced to sit down, forced to just reevaluate life because maybe you don't have a job anymore. What's really important to me? Do I need to pursue a different trade? Do I need to do something that really matters and really matters to me? You know, I feel like that's kind of where this pandemic is pushing us as developers, as people in general. So I think in that sense, I really appreciate what's going on in the world.
Yeah, you don't want to say like, yeah, this is all, all our caveats are ahead up front. This is horrible. Wish it didn't happen.
Yeah, this is horrible.
So, but that's over with. I can't do anything about it. You can't do that. All we can do is what we're told to do, which helps everybody, right? And we're doing that right now. But the point is, now that we're doing that, then I have to look for every positive thing about this, which it is. And I tell you, last week was one of the best weeks of my life. Just being, since he was a baby, I wasn't with her that long, like 12 hours, you know what I mean? A day, like that much time. And then we wake up and kind of, I don't have to like set my alarm, you know, wake up at 8, what's going on? You know, and she's up real, like, it's very nice, peaceful existence. It's really weird. And like, and I feel like breakfast, and it's sunny outside, and it's not dark, and I'm not yelling at her, get up, we gotta go, gotta get to school. Put your you can't wear the inside out. Put it back on. What are you doing? Like,
inside out. And just to elaborate on your caveat, it's just I personally, and I think all three of us are kind of speaking at this from a place of privilege. Like, I still have my job. I think both of you, I'm pretty sure both of you, I know both of you both have your jobs. Yeah. There's a lot of people that do not have their jobs. So we are speaking out.
We're very lucky. And yeah, for me, I, you know, no kids, you know, no real, like, not a lot's changed for me. I just work from home. So I'm very lucky in that regard. And like we mentioned earlier, there's some people who've been very unlucky. And so far,
everybody's healthy. Everybody's good.
Yeah.
You know,
so.
And so, yeah, that's the thing. Everybody, so this is not saying this is a great thing in that end, but privilege acknowledged this thing. But even like you said, say you lost your job and that sucks and there's nothing you can do about it. That's what I tell. So I tell Zach all the time because he does this and he gets stressed. So it's all right, Zach. If you're not going to come to the show, I'm going to talk about you. But like he says it all the time. Well, he gets stressed about stuff he can't control. It's like, you got to stop doing that. You got to let go of those things. And like, and a lot of times I've gotten scared, like I don't get scared of losing jobs. I was like, I can't do anything about it. All I can do is do my best for those people. Yeah. Like you said, and this is, we'll get into this. Let's move into this a little bit area too. Cause there's some other stuff about this, but I guess the only other headline that Bungie's using Stadia to help them develop games there. There's a Stadia form for it.
Reading that article. Yeah. I was like,
outside of that, it's just people working from home. That's who cares. But yeah, to me, this is the more important. This is, you're getting into this. This is the really meat of this, is that not just for anybody, but if you're to our audience, people listen to us, we want to be developers. We see this all the time. They said, I want to get into this, right? I want to do this. And I'm like, hey, I want to work. And Ryan's like, you guys are, we all have projects and stuff we want to work on, right? And we're like, oh, I just got to get some more time. Got to do some more stuff. It's like, hold on. It's like, you ain't got nothing but time, buddy. It's like, and not, if you got fired, you got a lot of time and you can't even go look for a job now. It's like, this is, could be a crazy time, especially for, let's talk about just game developers, people that want to do that, people that want to experiment with this. The best thing about this for indie game developers, you've got everything you need at home. You got everything you could do. And if you want to learn a new subject, want to learn a new language, you have this weird time that just has not existed in history. Or do you want to get healthy? You want to, you know what I mean? Do whatever you want to do, these things, like make your life better. We have this like month. So again, for people that are, you know, are in a good situation and can do this, right, you have some time. You have some time to breathe and some time to go, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? And how can I move that needle so much further than this month or two towards that? Because you're not, nothing's expected of you during this time, right?
Right.
You can't do anything.
You mentioned you have like time to learn. What, there was one article you dropped in our outline about people, like other companies offering opportunities, free opportunities to like learn a new language, learn a new
skill. That Skillshare site, a lot of companies, some people try to take advantage of you. Like a lot of companies, like even like Showtime and CBS, give them away like a month or two free. Skillshare is like one of those like Lynda sites. They have a lot of different things. They're giving away 2 months. You can just join and it's 2 months free. And you just look at all their videos. And they have like a lot of wider range than like Lynda's and stuff. But they do have like web development stuff on there.
Just like, I got to plug it since you didn't do it. But the Unity
Learn. Yeah, he was baiting us, by the way.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I
was baiting.
I put that on there. I haven't got to it yet.
You did. Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
I put it in the outline. Yeah. But you do it. You're
Oh, no. Yeah, that was the bait. It was like, hey, there's something you dropped in there.
It was below the fold. Yeah, I didn't scroll down yet.
Yeah, the Unity Learn Premium, which is basically access to all of their courses.
Two months, good courses.
Go ahead. Yeah, 2 months free of Unity Learn Premium. So if you're, you know, out there, you have free time, you have the means to do it, to log in, I would recommend create an account, join Unity Learn, learn how to create games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, that's what you said. If you have the means, do it. If you're in a situation where you can, and yeah, it's just really hard because there's a lot of hardship going on. A lot of people are sick and people, family, whatever's going on. But for a lot of people, I feel there's also a lot of people that are sort of in a situation they can't change right at this moment, right?
Right.
But thinking about it and stressing about it's not going to help anything. Like getting on some of this stuff that you're just like, know what? I'm going to make that little demo. A month is plenty of time to make prototypes and demos of something, right? And especially just a game you're making by yourself. You want to make something or get on friends, connect with your friends. And you guys do that. Like there's, we have at least a month or at least a month in the US, probably two, maybe more months of this.
Right. I think we should also add that I am definitely do this, but like drop all of the resources that we've kind of outlined in our outline on our website with this post, just so that people who are listening, if you, you know, need to know what Unity Learn is or how to, what was that, SiteShare, Skillshare, or some, maybe we could even drop some of the games that we're playing that's kind of encouraging us or making us feel better about the situation. We should just drop that in our post so you guys can leverage that, leverage our experience there.
It's just a weird thing. It's like, because, I mean, as adults, I really feel this because you guys don't have kids yet that's just another layer of the thing you always do with yourself where you're like, okay, I'll get to that. Yes, sure. And like, oh God, not busy this week. Now we're doing this. Okay. Yeah. I'll call my mom. Okay. Yeah. Do all this stuff. I'm talking to my mom every day during this. Like I've done all these things that like I always don't ever have time for because you're just like, oh, I don't we're still working at home, but there's nothing like, there's something about just not going out and going to go to work and come back. Like, it's just like, oh, wait a second. I can do what I want. You know, like it's a weird thing. Just that, and it's not just weird because like you have some time off. This is a historical thing because everybody has to take that same time off. It's like a pause in society, and it's going to suck because we don't know what the repercussions of it financially are and all these things. You know, I tend to be a little more. I mean, yeah, if you're a restaurant owner, those are probably the worst off people. You know what I mean? Because it's like, as a society, yeah, there are going to be new restaurants then if they come back. You know, but it sucks if you have a restaurant now. It's like because you can't do anything about it. And especially, it even sucks if you work at a restaurant now because it's like,
right.
can't do anything. And like the money, it's crazy that they're sending money. I never thought I'd see conservatives send money to people. It's not enough. It needs to be like three times the amount of money they're sending those people. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's a sucks situation, but it's also kind of beautiful in a lot of ways. And it can be if you are in a spot to take advantage of it, you know?
Cool. And definitely quick plug for community. So if you want to join this developer community that we have, I would definitely suggest joining our Discord or joining us on Facebook group, which is the Debug Lounge. So that way we can just connect, talk about our experiences and help each other out during this tough time.
Yeah, do that. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's fine. I think we hit it all today. Enough for now. This is just a quick little update on this. We don't have to belabor all this stuff. Everybody's at home. That's the news. Some of the game companies gave laptops to people. There you go. That's the other news. People are playing a lot of games. Good news. I'd like to see how the sales or what, that's one thing I was interested to think about. Just see how the sales of versus like free to play or whatever comes up, you know, because people don't have money, but what group of people, but some people do have money and they're just sitting there and they have nothing to do but spend it too. So I don't know what, you know, I'd like to see those demos and numbers in a couple months.
Well, yeah.
See what's happening.
If you're the game Pandemic, then yeah, it's future sales are doing pretty well from what I hear.
And I think also, you're start talking.
See like, just, I guess how it affects, these bigger companies or like how to project, like how are they forecasting the future, even like going 2 months in, like how can we sustain a work from home culture? Or like the game sales, is it, I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to kind of forecast out seeing the numbers from these companies, but
I got it. Cause I was trying to think about indie games and just like, oh, it's a great time for indie gamers. But I was like, are those people going to be buying? Right. Who's going to be buying? Or people just need to want to play free games or now? I don't know.
That's true. Like what's actually doing well, freemium or premium games.
Right. So it's interesting. I don't know, man. It's interesting times. We'll be here. Hopefully we'll start doing some more episodes. We'll try to start picking up, I guess, maybe. Because we have time to do it. And time to kind of, maybe we'll think of something cool. Maybe like a cool series or something to do stuff. Or maybe we'll talk to some other people who are stranded at home, developers and stuff.
That's true. Yeah, that'd be good to talk to some small, not indie developers or big indie developers.
Yeah, we're just... Initially, this is just us getting in, just doing a quick update. Again, we're like 2 weeks into it, so we'll see where it goes. But anyway, like you said, in the meantime, you can go to our Facebook group, the Debug Lounge, ask to join there. There's some interaction there, but also in there, you can see the link to the Discord group, which where there's a lot of people in there talking and sharing stuff. And there's all sorts of Discord groups cool because there's all the different threads and topics and different game engines and all those other things in there, which is pretty cool. But that's it. Yeah, I guess
that's it.
Now I'm getting out like forlorn and stuff. And I miss you guys. But I'm starting to
cry. Don't cry.
Come on, Andrew.
No, but we'll be back. We'll be back sooner than later. But so in the meantime, I guess you can catch me on Twitter. I'm at Andrew_Curry. That's CURIE.
You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at obeans. That's O with an H, beans with a Z.
And you can catch me not doing anything on Twitter at R.E. Kilgore, K-I-L-L-G-O-R-E.
Wait, 1 second. Quick question. Actually, or quick plug. I finally, given this time of self-reflection and free time, finally announced our game, which is a first-person shooter. It's called Revenants. So if you want to learn more about that, go to our website, which is revenantsgame.com, R-E-V-E-N-A-N-T-S. game.com and check it out, or you can look at my Twitter or my Instagram
and you sign up for the mail list there.
Put it on the website too.
Yes, put it on the website. Oh, I could, but that's a reaching. I won't do that yet.
Okay.
Just kidding. But yeah, that's good.
Game.
I didn't want to do it. Yay, game.
All right, guys. What? All right. Well, anyways, all right. We'll see you next time.
Adios. Bye.